1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. So, Steve, I see you've got your Bible here. You can turn in your phones or you can turn in your whatever you use to access the Word of God. Jan, if you'd put that scripture up there for us, if it's already there, it is. Okay, so here we are. Here's the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and then we're going to talk about some interesting things there. I feel that the Lord has for us today. Amen. And we also thank God constantly for this. This is what? That when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted that word, right? Not as the word of man. Everybody say word of man. But what it really is, the word of God. Everybody say word of God. Which is at work in you. Everybody say, which is at work in me. So here's what we have. We have it. We have this scripture that Paul is thanking God all the time. He says, I'm thanking God constantly. Constantly. When you heard our words, it wasn't the words of men, it was the words of God. That's what every lover of God wants to hear. What you want to hear is you want to hear what God has to say about something. You want to hear about what God wants to say because we are surrounded by words all the time. We hear words that other people speak. We hear words when we're listening to the media. We see words when we're looking at things. But God wants to give us his word, and this word needs to come to us as God's word. And we're not just labeling it this, like we're not saying, oh, this is just God's word, your Bible, or whatever. We really mean it. This is God speaking to us. We need to know God's word because God's word does something to us. Amen? God's word does something to us. Now, in Genesis chapter 15, I want to show you how God's word can come. And we're going to look at what the living word of God is, because it's not a letter in a book or something just printed. In Genesis 15, verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. A vision. So this is not just like Abraham took out a scroll and looked at this letter. The word of the Lord came to him in something that he saw, he experienced. He might have been sleeping, he might have been awake, but something happened that he saw God as a vision. This word was almost personified. It was like a person. And so what do we have in the book of John? The book of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we see the Word of God as God himself revealed to us. And so when we say, when we take the Bible out and we say, let's turn to the Word of God, yeah, it is the Word of God. The Scripture is the Word of God. But let me tell you something. It's one thing to open the Bible and look at it. It's another thing to have the Word of God as a vision in your life, where you see it and you experience it, the person of God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the exciting thing about being a Christian, is that we can experience God's Word as himself to us. When we get together and worship, I love to worship. As you know, this church loves to worship. And you, I know you all love to worship. But when I worship, I want to encounter the one whom I'm worshiping. I want to experience him. I want to have a vision like Abraham. Abraham just didn't turn the radio on, right? And these words came to him. He didn't open up a piece of paper, because I don't know what they used in those days, right? This is a long time ago. God came to him in a vision. In a vision. Now let's turn to Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. This is a scripture that some of you may know by heart. This is one that I've known by heart for a long time. So I want you to turn there in Proverbs 29, 18. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there's no prophetic vision. Abraham had a prophetic vision of God. He had the word of God to him. But where people need a prophetic vision of God. They don't just need letters. They don't just need rules. They don't just need words. They need the word, Jesus. They need a prophetic vision. They need to see. They need to see the Lord for themselves, because if there is no living word, if there is no prophetic vision, people cannot and will not come under God's kingdom. Proverbs 29, verse 18. This word cast off restraint means lawless. Just do whatever you want to do. I can tell you this, that before I got saved in 1974, I read the Bible and I heard the Bible, but I didn't have a prophetic vision. I didn't have an encounter like Abraham did. I didn't have the Word of God be a person to me. It was just something on a page. There came a day when Jesus appeared to me, and I saw him in my heart. I saw him. I saw him, and I knew he was there. I knew I was hearing his words, and Jesus became real to me. This is what Christians walk in every day. Every day, God wants us to walk in prophetic vision. That means he wants us to really see Jesus and really hear what God has for us. Now, let's look at the context of this verse in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. 19, we've got to go back to the beginning. Here's the beginning. Discipline your son, right? Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Next verse. There, where there is no prophetic vision, the people. Everybody say people. Now we're talking about a nation or a group of people, not just one person. So the first verse is all about being a son. The second verse is about a group of people or a nation. And then the next verse, by mere words, a slave is not disciplined. For though he understands, he won't respond. That's three different kinds of people, three different kinds of attitudes. One's the attitude of a son, one's the attitude of a group of people, and last but not least, the attitude of a slave. And a slave is someone who only does what they're told to do because they have to, not because they want to. God doesn't want us to have an attitude of a slave, right? We don't act like we're a slave in the sense that God hasn't called us to do something because we don't want to do. Look at the very first verse in the 17. It says, blessed is a man who is disciplined. And if you have a discipline in your life, then you delight the Lord and you get delight. And when you're a group of people, okay, by mere words, a servant is not disciplined. So the key for being a son is learning how to be disciplined in the Lord. And that discipline comes through prophetic vision. The discipline. The word discipline comes from the concept of being corrected so that you're more pure. That's what discipline means. Discipline means to be told no. Discipline means to say, you don't get it right now. Let me explain it to you. Discipline means to say, this is what you're doing wrong. Now let me show you how to do it right. That's discipline. Discipline is when God steps in and says, this is the way walk in it. He'll tell you that because you're walking in the wrong way. You're on the wrong road. And there were things in my life, again, when I first met the Lord, where God had to tell me, you need to do something different and you have to be disciplined. So when I got saved, I became a son because God began to discipline me personally, me and him. He began to talk to me and said, John, no. And I had to learn to receive that. I wasn't going to have a slave attitude which says, oh, Lord, I'll just do it because I have to. No, I want to do it because I want to be like Papa God. I want to be like him. And because he loves me and he wants me, I mean, I love Jesus and I want to be like Jesus. So I'm going to get disciplined. Now, I'll just give you an example of my own life. God had to discipline me and say, John, you've been sitting around too much because of COVID. It's time you get off your you-know-what and get in the gym and work out. Discipline means correction. And it means doing something maybe that you haven't been doing before. How about you wave your hand if you think that there may be some things that you're not doing that you should be doing because you need to be disciplined. Yeah, I was just talking with Kenny. Kenny says, okay, I'm going to do a different kind of workout that I've been doing, right? There's a different kind of workout. There's adjustments that need to be made in our lives so that God can make us better and more like him. Amen. So discipline is the key to sonship, not slavery. Discipline is something that God brings to us by a progressive vision or a prophetic vision. That means the word of God comes to you, and this is so important. The word of God comes to you where God wants to tell you one or two things that you need to do that changes you. So many times I'll be reading the Word of God or I'll be listening to the Word of God, whether it's in the media or I'm reading it. And whenever I do that, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to me that will change me, that will discipline me? In other words, information only is not enough. Let's go to Luke chapter 4 and let's look at how Jesus was disciplined by the word of the Lord. Because Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example. Luke chapter 4, we're going to look at the story of Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to be full of the Holy Spirit today? I want to be full, yes. Amen, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. I lift my cup, Lord. And, you know, we want to get filled and full and all that kind of stuff. But when Jesus first was full of the Holy Spirit like this, what happened? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Lord, wait a second. Can't you just fill me and let me go home? No. When you get full of the Holy Spirit, you begin to be led by the Spirit. So you've got to be led by the Spirit when you're full. So fill us up, Lord, and then take us where you want us to go. And in this situation, God took him into the wilderness. That's okay, because if God takes you anywhere, you're going to be all right. Amen? Amen. So they get there. He's there 40 days being tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. Yeah, I like that. They had to say that. Like, I couldn't figure it out. But anyway, the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Notice that when he went into the wilderness, he was going in as the Son of God. And the devil was tempting him regarding his sonship, who he was. When we get tested, the devil is going to go after our sonship, and he's going to say, are you going to act like a son here, or are you going to act like a slave? Which is it? And what did Jesus said? Here's what the devil told him. If you're the Son of God, command the stones to become bread. Well, Jesus said, it's written. So he said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, in the book of Luke, it adds some other words to it. in the book of Matthew, Luke leaves these out. He says, man should not live by bread alone, but then it says, but by every word from the mouth of God. By every word. Now, the word in that passage in Matthew chapter 4, the other places that Luke leaves out, is the word rhema. Everybody say the word rhema. Rhema is, there are two words for words, like, okay? So when you see the word word in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. The Greek word is logos, okay? This is where we get the word logic from, logical. It makes sense. It's the whole plan. If you're doing something logical, that means you're doing something that makes sense. It fits together. We get our words Lego from it. Everybody say Lego. And what do you do with Legos? Some people just leave them scattered all over the floor. But the whole, and step on them and it hurts a whole lot, right? For some people. But for most, you know, for people that really are into Legos, they put them together to make something that makes sense. And it's amazing what you can do, obviously, with Legos that create something fantastically amazing that makes sense to it. Okay, so Legos make sense. So the concept of the Logos or the Word of God is when God puts meaning into your life by the big picture of who He is. Amen? You don't know who you are until you become a son of God, and you become a son of God by the Logos. But once you become who you are in your identity as a son and not a slave, God then says, okay, now I'm going to teach you what rhema is all about, because it's not just always the big picture, I'm a son, but God wants you to know how to walk with Him moment by moment. The word rhema is the word for speech, or what God is specifically telling you now. The Logos is the big picture. So what Jesus said to the devil is, I know I'm a son. I know that God will give me my bread, but I am not going to eat that bread until He says it's okay. I go by the devil was trying to tempt Him by using the Logos without the rhema. Whoa. That means, oh, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. Well, just because the Bible says, it doesn't mean God saying it to you right now, is it? It may not be the situation. It may not be the circumstance. It may not be God's will. So God's will is tied up, yes, in the Logos. That gives us the big picture will of God. But the rhema is the will for the now, for the present, for the moment. What is God's will? Lord, I need a word from You. I need a rhema. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every rhema of God, every proceeding word out of your mouth. And I love the analogy. It's the difference between eating a cracker and eating a fresh roll out of the oven. There's a big difference between the two. And a cracker can sit there in your box for a long time, and it's still okay, right? You can keep that cracker in the closet. You know it's there. When it's time to pull out the cheese, and oh, wait a minute, I'm making a mistake of talking about food. I guess we're getting hungry. Okay. But you can pull that cracker out anytime, and it's still good. But you can't do that to a roll in the bread box. Come on now. And when is the roll the best? Right out of the oven. That's it. And you don't want it to even cool down. You want it while it's still hot. Well, amen. We need to treat the rhema of God like that. We need to say, I'm not living by crackers. I'm living by bread. Come on, let's say it now. I'm not living by crackers. I'm living by bread. I'm not just living by the Logos. I'm living by the rhema. That means I need to hear the preceding prophetic word of God. So let's just make an analogy that will make sense to you. If you have your Bible, that's the Logos. But if you hear the prophetic word of God, that's the rhema. That means somebody's preaching to you, someone's speaking to you, and it may be coming from me or from another prophet, or just you sitting there with the word of God in front of you, and God makes a verse pop out at you, Or you may be dreaming, and in the morning, God will give me scriptures when I wake up. Sometimes God will say, in the morning, I want you to turn to this verse. Or he may give me a dream, or he may give me a vision while I'm praying. Or somebody may call me up on the phone and say, Pastor John, the Lord spoke to me, I think this is for you. Or maybe someone will do it by text. But let me tell you something, you can't live on crackers, guys. God wants you to learn to live on the fresh bread. Amen? Because there are specific things you want to do every day. And God wants us to learn to develop the habit of waiting on the Lord so that you can hear from him every day. Because God wants to speak to you. That's why the most important change that went over my life when I became a Christian is I began to read the Bible every single day. Every day I spent time reading the Word. And so man shall not live by bread alone. And so there were three temptations. There was the temptations to turn stones to bread. That means doing something out of God's timing because you can. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? That means you got to wait on the Lord sometimes for direction. Number two, the second thing he says, throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. That means don't test God. Don't test him. What you do means something. Don't try to do something dumb just because you say, well, God loves me, I'm his son, he's going to take care of me, so I'm going to be stupid and drive 30 miles over the speed limit. You know what I'm saying? Or I'm not going to take care of my body because God heals me. Right? That means you lose discipline. God wants to be disciplined. And Jesus said, he said, go ahead, go do something and tempt the Lord to help you when you know you're doing the wrong thing. Your work, what you do matters. And number three, don't get idols. Don't let idols come in your life. He said, you will fall down and worship me so that you can get these kingdoms. You can accomplish things. Don't be fooled into compromise because of the world's glitter. All the cool stuff in the world, you want to have everything. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person that likes the newest version of whatever it is that I have. I mean, I was raised that way. We were all raised that way, but now we know old is sometimes better. Okay? Sometimes old is better. But we've been programmed our whole lives as Americans to always have the freshest, the nicest, the newest version. And, we've been trained that way, even with software. You got to get the new version of the software because it's got features that it never had before. I'm kind of like, just leave it alone. Just leave me. If it works, it works. Stop messing with it. But it's not right, Jan. It drives us crazy sometimes because we're constantly having to update something and it doesn't always work. Well, that's that compromise. Sometimes you can make an idol of something because it occupies your time. And it sucks up so much of your energy and time and your whatever. You're constantly fiddling and fooling with something. God doesn't want that in your life. Okay, so now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. All right, Hebrews 12 verse 5 says this, my son, it says, have you forgotten the exhortation or the encouragement or the discipline that addresses you as son? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Don't get weary when you're reproved. Reproved means corrected. It means challenged. It means castigated. That's the word castigate. Comes from the Latin word. All these words mean the same thing essentially. Lord, it says the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Boy, I'll tell you what. When we're children and our parents correct us, we don't act like we're being loved, are we? Right? We usually, it's crying, throwing a temper tantrum, doing a fit. You don't love me. Woe is me, right? But how about this? Can you imagine having a life where it's mature people? Come on now. When I grew up, I finally realized if someone loved me enough to tell me when I was doing something really stupid, I was thanking. Or I've done something really wrong. We don't like to hear correction, do we? I mean, that's just near human nature. We don't want to be told, change it. We don't want to be told, that's not right. We don't want to be told that. Because, well, why? Because we know everything. No, we don't. But you know what I'm saying? We just don't want to be told. We don't want to be wrong. But here's the thing. When God tells us we need to do something at the right time, with the right person, with the right amount of this, whatever it is, whatever the Lord says in our personal lives, we need to get that discipline so that God can bring us and show his love to us. And I gave an example of one area of my life, but there are other areas, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to you and show you that he loves you so much that he's going to tell you no, or change, or do this instead of what you've been doing, or you need to be honest about what you're doing. All of those things. I don't like correcting people. If, you know, as a teacher, I hated it. I mean, but I was trained. Okay, I was trained to do that as a teacher. And I do that as a teacher all the time. And you do that as a voice teacher if you're teaching someone how to sing, or if you're coaching someone in a sport. The whole point of it is to tell them what's the best way to do anything, because they will be happier when they do it. But at first, you've got to get them in the routine of learning how to listen and how to receive the discipline of the Lord. All right, God disciplines those he loves. And we need to say, Lord, I am sorry that I have a slave attitude when you correct me. Lord, I want to have a son attitude. I want to have an attitude that says, Lord, when you're telling me this ain't right or you need to do this differently, I want to be able to say to you, thank you, Lord, for showing me your love, because you really treat me like your child. Do you see how identity is so important to discipline? God wants us to know who we are, and he will discipline, respond to that discipline because of it. All right, last but not least, 1 John chapter 1, let's go through 1 through 4, and then we're going to close. Okay, John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1. This is an amazing verse. It says, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard. Now, you're hearing the word of God, right? Right now. I'm praying that God's speaking to your heart. But you know what you also get to do? It says, we've seen with our eyes. Lord, I want to see you as well as hear you. Come on. Do you want that? I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see with my eyes as well as hear with my ears. I want to hear the Lord speak to me, but then I want to see him. And there are times when I've seen the Lord. I've seen him in other people, and I've seen him just me and him. But I've seen him. I've seen the Lord. Then it says, we've looked upon him. That word look means to examine. So we just haven't just glanced at the Lord. It says that we've looked at him carefully. When you see a beautiful work of art, you don't just go, nice, walk on, right? When something strikes you as beautiful, what do you want to do? Get closer. Check it out even more. Look at it. And then you start talking about it, right? You start saying, wow, look at that. 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 You start to examine it. And you converse. You meditate. And that's what God wants us to do with the word of God, so that we have a prophetic word. Prophetic words are beautiful. They cause us to come closer and examine it and think about it. And then it says we touch it. I love the touching part, because you hear through vibrations in the air, right? And you see through sound with light waves through the air. But when you touch something, there's no distance. You're even closer. Right? You just get right there to touch. And then it says, the word of life. The life was made real. The word manifest means to make it super real. This is what we want from the Lord. This is the way the word of God needs to be in our lives. We need to have the word be real to us. We've seen it, we testify, and we proclaim to you. See, once it becomes real to you, you can't help but talk about it. You can't help but talk about it. Why? It's changed you. You've touched it. You've tasted it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You've experienced it for yourself. That which we've seen and heard we proclaim so that you too may have fellowship with us. What that does is it creates a sense of family, a sense of unity, a sense of flow, and that we're writing these things that your joy may be full. Amen. This is the final step. The final step is to write them down, to make them manifest for other people. You're going to testify about what God has for you. Amen? So this is the word of the Lord, I feel like, for our church. I feel like it's for us. And this is a prayer I'd like us to pray. We just would pray. I hope this has touched you. I hope that you've seen what I've been seeing. I hope you hear what I've been hearing. I hope that the word of God is not just something you just read. I pray that this year and as we go into 2023, we're going to learn to have a progressive word of the Lord. Without a progressive vision, a prophetic vision, we need a prophetic vision. America needs a prophetic vision again. America needs it because we've got chaos in our country like never before. So we need a prophetic vision. Amen. Lord, we pray right first of all, we pray for America right now for a prophetic vision that would come on the scene afresh, that would stop the chaos and bring order in our society, in our culture, in our whatever field it is, whether it's in a school or whether it's in the government or whether it's in the business area, whatever field it is, Lord, education, we pray for a prophetic vision over Henry County Schools, Martinsville City Schools, the Martinsville City government, the Henry County government, the state of Virginia, the United States, and the rest of the world. Father, we're praying for a prophetic vision to bring the discipline of the Lord so that people will act like children of the Lord and not slaves. Deliver people from a slave mindset. Deliver us from that. Lord, we choose to profess our sonship with you. We are the children of God. We are now God's sons. And Father, we pray as individuals, Lord, that we would learn the prophetic vision, prophetic words, so that we don't live a life without discipline. Lord, we welcome the discipline of the Lord. We welcome correction. We welcome change. Lord, we love when you tell us what to do something different. Lord, we want to be healthy. We want to manage our lives well according to the kingdom of God. We want to hear you daily, daily, what you have to say to us. Lord, what is the specific word from your heart today? Lord, we want to know what it is that you want to do in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you are going to take the time, if we would receive it, to speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that the God of the universe would dwell with us. That's just amazing. Lord, it's just, you care. It says your eye is on the sparrow. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you notice us and you care about us.